You see, when two former pastors get together, we have little signals we do to ourselves during this time, so we all know each other very well. Pentecost. I'm so happy to be here in Pentecost because I always think that Pentecost is the most exciting time of the year because it is really the sending of the Holy Spirit. But I like to talk about where Pentecost comes from. It's not a Christian founding, it was really Jewish founding. And what it was is that Pentecost was used by the Jews to celebrate the feast of the wheat, the harvest of the wheat. And on that same day, they combined another feast together, like the feast of Moses giving the Ten Commandments to the Jewish people. And so there were two very major feasts that they called the Feast of, they felt called the Feast of Pentecost. And so Jews from all over the country and all over the nations known to the Jewish people gathered in Jerusalem because this is one of the feasts that all the Jews were called to be in Jerusalem. So the crowd was enormous that day, that many years ago, on this day in which these things happened. And here we have the scene. We have the scene that last week we read about the ascension of Jesus to heaven. And Jesus ascended into heaven, and he said, go back to the city and pray. I will send the Paraclete to you. And they really did not really understand what he was talking about, like they had not really fully understood all during his ministry, really, what he was talking about. They thought they'd get in the, and they thought they were excited when they saw the risen Christ, but still, they did not really understand. They did not really understand the ascension. They did not understand all of these things. They believed in it, but they didn't quite understand. And so they went back to that same room that they had been, and guess what they did? They locked the door. Because they were very, very afraid that the Jews were going to come or drag them out because they had been associated with Jesus. And the rumor had spread that Jesus had risen from the dead. And the people believed, a lot of people believed that Jesus was really stolen from the tomb. And so they wanted the Jews, the disciples, to be put out of sight, put away. And so the disciples themselves were very, very afraid. And that is the scene. 50 days after the resurrection, Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection, the disciples are in the room. But all of a sudden, something began to happen outside. Outside the room, they heard something, a wind. And the wind was so strong in the room that the people around the place where the disciples were, they began to move closer and closer and closer to the room, wondering, what is that? It sounds like a very mighty, strong wind that is going on. What is happening? What's happening? And as they got closer, asking themselves and talking to themselves, all of a sudden, they began to realize that even though they were from all these areas of the Jewish people, that they began to understand each other. And they were amazed that they could understand each other. And that reminds us of the first reading we had today, where the language was confused. On Pentecost, it's also the time when the language, one language, is all of a sudden brought back into one. And all the disciples, and all the people outside, all the Jews began to speak about praising God. And they would say, aren't you Jewish? I mean, aren't you Hebrew? And aren't you Roman? And aren't you all these different things? And they say, yes, we are. But how can we understand this? Not knowing what was happening in that room. And that noise in that room got more and louder and louder and louder, like a tremendous thunder in the room. And it was just blowing in that room. And all of a sudden in that room, a fire appears. A ball of fire. And that ball of fire separates and then goes over the heads of each one of the disciples. And when that light hits their head, all of a sudden, there's a whole different dimension that happens in those men's lives. All of a sudden, they are on fire. And all of a sudden, they begin to realize That's what Jesus was trying to say. That's what Jesus was trying to say. And so they're almost excited because all of a sudden they know. 3 years they've been waiting to try to figure out what Jesus was saying. And now we seem to know this fire that comes upon us has made us aware of what Jesus is trying to say. That God loves us, that he has sent his son to us, that the son has suffered and died and rose for us. That was great joy to them. And at that point, they opened up that door of the room and probably scared the people to death outside, coming out saying, praise God, praise God. And they began to proclaim the good news to the people all around them. And they proclaimed so well that it is said that Peter on that first day, in his very first sermon, 3,000 people believed in Jesus. That's a powerful speech that day. That changed the world from that point on. All of a sudden, they understood what Jesus was trying to say. That God had sent him into the world. He had sent him into the world that they would be one and that God would be the heart of their faith. And they were filled with joy and filled with a sense of hope. It also is said that they came together as a community more than they ever came before. And people began to come around them and began to speak to them about Jesus. All of a sudden, you saw a community being formed right before your eyes. There were people that did not really know each other, understand each other. All of a sudden, were praising God together and speaking together. And all of a sudden, there was a community being built. It is really the first the church started to grow, really grow and become into existence. And that's why it is called the birthday of the church. It's when it all happened. And you know, we sit here today and we talk about that. And it's quite joyful. It would have been fantastic to be able to be there, wouldn't it, huh? To be able to see that kind of response from the early disciples and all the joy and the great understanding that took place there 2,000 years ago when the Spirit came upon the disciples. Now that Spirit will lead the church in many ways. And that Spirit will guide each person in different ways because each disciple was different than the other. Not all the disciples had the same response. We know that at the very beginning that the gift of tongues was known among the disciples because they were able to speak the gift of tongues. But there's more than just the gifts of tongues. There was a gift of leadership. There's a gift of prophecy. There were all the gifts coming from the Holy Spirit. And it was happening to them so very, very quickly that they really didn't quite understand what was happening there. But no matter what was happening, all of a sudden, it seemed to be working together. It seems as if God was using this moment to do something that the disciples were joyful about. They all of a sudden knew and understood what their ministry would be, and also what the Spirit would do to guide them in their lives. My brothers and sisters, each one of us in this room have received the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that the disciples received 2,000 years ago. It's amazing when you stop and think that the same Spirit that filled that room with joy and filled all the people around that building that day is the same Spirit that is right here in this room right now, working in our lives, showing its presence to us in our lives. And I always say that when you come to Pentecost, that the Spirit has given many, many, many talents and abilities to the church in order for the church to be able to function, in order for the church to be able to spread the good news. And it's amazing what it is spread with. And everyone in this room who has received the Holy Spirit has received from the Spirit not just one gift, but many gifts. And the purpose for your gifts are not for you. And see, that's the thing that people always forget about in their life. They always think, well, this gift is for me, this gift to me, this makes me better than this, makes me better than that. The response is, no, the gifts are not for you. The gifts are for the community. It's to build the community up. St. Paul will have problems with that whole sense of gifts later on as he goes out. I mean, St. Paul will go out, and all of a sudden he will find all kinds of controversies happening because they began to isolate themselves. This is a very special gift. I have the gift of tongues, or I have the gift of prophecy. And he had to respond and say, the body is not all mouth. It's not all head. It's not all eye. It's made up of all kinds of gifts that really make the community alive. And so as I say to you today on Pentecost, the Spirit has given you many gifts, and each one of them is very specific to you. Isn't that amazing? No one else in this room has the gifts that you have. And that gift that you have, its purpose is to do one thing, to build the community of Christ. Now, I want you to stop for a second. I'll stop for a second, too. I want to ask you to think for just a moment. What do you think the gift, one of the gifts is that God has given to you? What do you think a gift that God has given you, what do you think it is? Sometimes we're not correct. Because see, it's not for us. God uses us despite us. He uses us to proclaim the good news. But my brothers and sisters, it is He's using you. And I love when we sing this song, Holy Spirit, come out of my life, come into the world. And I always say, it's not Holy Spirit, come into my life. It's Holy Spirit, come out of my life and change the face of the earth. Because the Spirit is already there. And see, it's important for you and me to know that the Spirit is already there. And the Spirit wants you to use it in order to change the world. My brothers and sisters, all you need to do is to ask yourself the question, especially nowadays, how is the Spirit using me to change the world today? Wow. That's a question, isn't it, huh? A world that seems to be so fractured. A world that seems to be so filled with hatred, so filled with pain, so filled with anxiety, so filled with everything going around it. You sometimes say to yourself, what can we do? How can we change this world? And I think Mother Teresa says, just do one little thing and God will do the rest. Allow the Spirit in your life that God has given you to change the world. And you can change the world. Come, Holy Spirit. Come proclaim to the world love and peace. For God loves you. Now we talk about love. We have a very, very special couple here tonight. And I have to, Father Matt is going to do this, but I have to tell you, Father Matt, about this couple here, Father Matt, even when you were here, when I first came here, I felt like if anything happened to these two people, the church would probably fall in a hole because they used their talents and their abilities. But here they are, and they are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. I'm going to hand this over to you, Father.